Let's get into God's word today. Thank you guys for being in church on Memorial Day weekend. And if you have your Bible with you, please turn or click to Joshua chapter 3. And I'm going to preach from one of my favorite passages in the Bible. We're going to read a big part of this passage. We're going to back up and we're going to dissect about 10 different verses and extract out some principles that we can apply to our life. So this is the passage where the people of Israel are crossing the Jordan, entering into the promised land. On the way to the promised land, there's been a generational transference. God has miraculously, through the hand of Moses, delivered the people of God through many miracles. They're on this pathway. The Bible says that the Lord took them on the roundabout way, but it was actually his protection and provision to them because he knew the timing of when they would be ready to enter into the promised land. So there's been a generational transference, and Joshua is leading the people into the promised land. And that's where we'll pick up the story. That's a good place to just begin to read Joshua chapter 3. Before we do, let's pray. I always try to pray and just invite the Lord to just touch our hearts, to prepare our hearts to receive what he wants to do and what he wants to speak to us, what he wants to remind us of or reveal in us through the preaching of God's word. So let's do that. I'll pray over us corporately, but right where you are, man of God, woman of God, would you pray over your life, your unique situations and circumstances, the opportunities that lie before you, the associated maybe obstacles or opposition. As much as I care for God to speak to you today, God cares even more about what you're going through and what he's leading you to. So ask him to speak to you today. Ask him to strengthen you today. Father, that's our prayer. That's my prayer, Lord, over these people, over this gathering, Lord, over this precious church family. God, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, we just say our hearts are open and alert and expectant, God, for you to speak to us, God, today. I thank you, Lord, for every precious person that's in this room, those who are joining us online as well. God, I pray that you would do, Lord, what only you could do, God. For those who are weak or weary or wounded or hurting in any area of their life, Lord, would you bring strength and freedom, Lord? Would you bring hope and courage? Would you bring fresh faith for the future that every one of us has in the name of Jesus Christ? And come on, if you'll receive any or all of that for yourself, your marriage, your family, and your future, give the Lord a good amen. All right, so Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 2, and here's what it says. It says, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, which was this piece of furniture that the Lord had given very specific instructions about how to construct, and it represented, it contained the presence of God. And it says, when you see the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant begin to move, and the Levitical priests that were assigned carrying it, you are to move out, someone say move out, from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Verse 14, it says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It's miraculous, right? Verse 17, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Turn the page, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from amongst the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Verse 4, Joshua called together 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he told them, go into the middle of the Jordan, in the front of the ark of the Lord your God. And each of you must pick up one stone and carry it upon your shoulders, 12 stones in all, one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And then you could tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. And these stones will stand as a memorial amongst the people of Israel forever. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. He kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God forever. So it's a powerful story. It's a powerful passage. There's so many truths that we can extract to live out our lives of faith, because here's the reality is that this is just a foreshadowing of what God is doing in your life. He's rescued you from bondage through a miracle. He's sent a Savior to heal you and to rescue you, and now he's got a promised land for you. But here's what we see is that as the people of God are making their way to the promised land, verse 4 says this: you've never been this way before. God has a way of taking us. Again, he took them on a roundabout way. God has a way at calling us towards a promise, but when he gives a promise, he almost always starts a process, and the process almost always includes a journey that's going to require faith if we're going to make it to the other side. It says, we've never been this way before, and I don't know about you. I know the Bible says something that's really pretty powerful, profound, that there's nothing new under the sun, but it feels to me like in some ways we've never been this way before as it regards our culture, our society, our nation. Just full-scale attacks of confusion and division aimed on destruction. And so I think that there's something that we can extract from this. We've never been this way before. It says in verse 15, it says that Jordan was at flood stage. Really, God, you chose the path that you were going to take the people on to lead them to the promise, and you ordained that they would arrive at that place when the river was going to be at flood stage. You know that God had to know. But I'm telling you that when we experience a flood in our life, a flood of discouragement, a flood of confusion, a flood of doubt, whatever it is that you might be facing, we need to understand that God has a way of seeing us through. He's done it before. He'll do it again in our lives. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Isaiah 59, 19, it says that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We're experiencing a cultural flood. I mentioned just a few of those things, all the confusion, all the division aimed on destruction, aimed on keeping people from walking in the fullness of their destiny, aimed on dividing us as a people and as a nation. There's a flood. There's a cultural flood. And the Bible says that when we experience that, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. And I want to encourage you today that our standard as the people of God, our standard as the church of Jesus Christ, must be the Word of God. It must be the Word of God, not our preferences, not our opinions, not what we wanted it to look like, not like what we would think it should look like. And it grieves my heart. And listen, this is just gonna be our aim, our heart, our hope, our intent by design to be a church that honors and holds up the Word of God as the standard, even as the culture is turning from it, even as many churches and even as many pulpits are kind of minimizing or marginalizing or removing or kind of modifying what the Word of God has to say about life, about marriage, about finances, about sexuality. We must uphold the Word of God as our standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. And in your heart, in your mind, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, as you're raising your kids in a culture that is increasingly anti-Christ, we must uphold the Word of God as our standard. He said, you've never been this way before. You're coming up to a place where I'm calling you to, but there's a flood, but I'm going to see you through if you'll just keep your heart set upon me and if you'll live according to my word. He said, move out from your positions, verse 3. He said, you're to move out from your positions. It's a call to live and act and think differently. It's a call to not get stuck, to not settle in a place of complacency. It's a call to live out an act of faith. It says the people broke camp, verse 14. They broke camp to cross the Jordan. I'm sure that maybe there was a temptation to say, hey, isn't this good enough? I know God called us to across the river, but there's a relative prosperity. There's a relative peace here. There's a level of satisfaction. There's a life that we could build here. And I'm coming to call you and encourage you today to not grow complacent in your faith. There's a promised land. It might call you out in some faith to cross a river that looks like it's at flood stage. But God has a way of seeing you through to his promises if we'll keep moving, keep marching, get up and break camp, keep moving towards the call, the promises of God. He said, as soon as the priest, verse 15 and 16, as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. This is a powerful instruction. Someone needs to hear this today. God gets all the glory for everything that he ever does in our life. There's nothing that I could really take credit for. It's all by grace. You know, there's a falsity. There's this thing that people think is in the Bible, this statement, God only helps those who help themselves, right? That's false. That's not in the Bible. But there is a principle of divine partnership. There is a principle that God's called us, James 1:22, to be not just hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word. There are steps of faith that God intends to order by his word that he is calling you and I to take. We must sometimes, I mean, did you catch that? As soon as the priest's feet touched the river, when that moment happened, the river was still in full on flood stage. It was a step of faith. God called us to do this. Does Joshua really know what he's talking about? Does God really know what he's talking about? Will God really do what he said he will do? Will God really show up? Sometimes you got to put your foot in the water to find out. Sometimes you got to put your foot in the water to find out. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but there's someone who you need to pick up the phone and make the call. You need to make the drive and go see the person. You need to stop doing the research and just register for the classes. You need to stop asking the Lord for confirmation and just ask the girl out on a date. Come on, it's just coffee. Just go take her to coffee. There's a step of faith. There's a divine partnership. There's a way that God empowers people who are forward moving by faith, trusting God. I'm acknowledging you in all my ways. I'm taking steps. I love this concept. Psalm 119 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, it's two principles all tied up in this. God will show you the next step that you need to take as he enlightens the pathway that he's called you to make. And today, maybe some of you, just take a step of faith. And just watch how, if you're obedient, if God's really called you to that place, and if you really are pursuing something that is near and dear to the heart of God, it's part of his promises for you, as you begin to just take that step of faith, just watch how it will invoke and involve the supernatural power of God to do what only he could do when you do what you could do, and that's begin to live and walk and move by faith. Exodus 14:15, this is a powerful scripture. It kind of confounds our religiosity, our religious thinking. When the Lord said this, the Lord said to Moses, catch this, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Isn't that amazing? He eventually said, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. I've heard your prayers. I know you're looking at me. I know you're trusting me. Sometimes kind of waiting like that and kind of holding is actually not faith in God. It's fear. Because we're just saying, well, when God makes it so perfectly, listen, sometimes you're going to have to go and ask and seek and knock and pursue and do what God has put in your heart to do and trust him again to do what only he could do. He gets the glory ultimately, but there's a divine partnership that God has called us to. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. And I'm not saying to forget or forsake the Lord, but there was obviously a point where God said, hey, you guys need to quit talking about this thing and you need to get moving. I've given you a word. I've given you a command. I've given you a promise. I've told you I'll be with you. Stop allowing the fear of failure or the fear of the past or the fear of maybe revisiting something that happened in a past relationship or in a past season keep you hindered and held back from moving forward in freedom and faith towards the future that I have for you. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them to get moving. Just look at someone, find them, and tell them to get moving. By faith, in faith, acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, and just watch what he will do. We turn the page to Joshua chapter 4, and it said, the whole nation had finished crossing, but he chose 12 men from among the people. He chose 12 men. He's still in the business of choosing people. He's still in the business of calling individuals. And he's still in the business of giving divine assignments to individuals. Yeah, well, that was Moses, that was David. No, there's a specific divine appointment, assignment that you have for your life. There's a unique, specific sphere of influence that God has given you. There's a unique testimony that God is writing in your heart. There's a unique opportunity that God has assigned you to in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. He's still in the business of choosing and appointing people. This weekend, we remember all the brave men and women. Sure, there was an army, there was an air force, there were Marines, there was a Navy, there was the army that collectively are titled those ways, but those forces were comprised of brave individuals. Many people, even people in my family that would lie about their age so that they could go and protect freedom and liberty. And God is still in the business of calling individuals into divine purpose. And today our nation needs the church, not a preacher, not a sermon, not an organization, not a denomination. but a collective of individuals who are embracing the reality that we are ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That one man can't do it, one sermon can't do it, but if we collectively begin to go and we begin to see where God has placed us differently, that we understand that he has appointed us to be there for such a time as this, what is possible in our culture is transformation, revival, a great awakening. God is still in the business of calling individuals. Where has he called you to? And what's he calling you to do? Don't limit what God can do through you. He called individuals, but we have to understand that even as he's calling us individually, we're better together. Verse 4 of Joshua 4, it says, so Joshua called together the 12 men that he had chosen. He called them together. And collectively, as we all embrace your part, my part, your gift, your grace, your testimony, your spiritual gifts, and I have my own, and we all come together collectively, it's amazing what God can do. He's building a monument, and I think it's powerful that he uses stones, not bricks. He uses stones, not bricks. And bricks typically are kind of uniform in shape and color, but stones are kind of all unique, different sizes, different shapes, different places, different hues, different tones, all kind of unique. And the Bible says, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, that as we come to him, speaking of Jesus, who is the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, precious to him. It says, you also are living stones being built together into a spiritual house. We're being built together. The stone that I can carry out of my life because of what God has done in my life. Remember, he called them to bring those stones across and to build a memorial, to build a monument. The stone that I can carry out of the river is just a rock on a beach. But when together we all begin to gather together and we all bring the stones of God's faithfulness, we all bring the things that recall us to remember the testimonies of God, the hand of God, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, and we all begin to combine together, we're being built together. Remember, the church is being built together like living stones. The stone I carry out is a rock on the beach, just like the stone you carry out would be a rock on a beach, but when you begin to build them together, we collectively begin to become a tapestry, a monument, a memorial of God's goodness and faithfulness. That's what he's doing in our lives. Stones, not bricks. You might say, well, I'm still a little rough around the edges. I don't know if I really fit into this thing called church. I don't know if I really, can I really have a place in what God's doing here? I'm telling you prophetically, it's purposeful that he used stones because there's a place in the wall, in the monument, in the memorial that God is building that is shaped just like you. Your past, your testimony, what you've been through, what you've gone through, and what God is leading you to, we are better together. And he said, take those 12 stones, get them from the middle, right from the middle of the Jordan. Right from the middle. This is powerful because wouldn't it have been easier to gather stones from the bank, right? But I think God was saying something. I think God was saying, I'm going to take the stones from the deepest, from the darkest, from the place where there was the most doubt, from the place where there was the most insecurity, from the place where it was least likely that you were going to make it through. From the place where it was most likely you weren't going to make it through, he said, I'm going to take the stones from that place, from the middle of your moment, from the middle of your challenge, from the middle of your journey, from the middle of your opposition. That's the place that I want you to remember that I was the most faithful. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today. You find yourself in the middle of a season. It's always the place that we must be most mindful of winning the victory and staying focused on Jesus. Whenever we're starting a journey, oftentimes there's kind of excitement or enthusiasm. Whenever we're kind of coming against the finish line, we could see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's kind of a burst, or maybe we've kind of grown into the season that God has us in, but we inevitably will find ourselves in the middle of something. And that's the moment where we must win the battle. That's the moment where God's saying, that's where I want you to remember that I was good, that I was faithful in the deepest place, in the darkest place, in the place of most doubt. He said, that's where you're going to take those stones, the very stones that the enemy had planned in advance to be the place of your burial. I'm calling you to take those very stones and cause them to become the place of your memorial, of God's faithfulness, of the way he saw you through. Come on, they said you weren't going to make it. You're still here. You would convince yourself that you weren't going to make it. You are still here. And if you are still here, God is not finished with you. He never promised us that we wouldn't go through some of those places. He just promised us that he would be with us, that he would do his part, that as we step in to the raging rivers of life, he said, I'll be with you in those moments. It says, when you go through, Isaiah 43, when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. He says, don't be afraid. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And sometimes he'll cause the water to dam up where you could walk across on dry ground. But right there he says, but if I don't, you just keep moving forward because I'm going to see you through. I'm going to see you through the things that the enemy says are going to take you out. I'm going to use as a testimony. I'm going to turn your trial into a triumph, your test into a testimony, your mess into a message. God is still in the business of doing that if we will keep our eyes on him. From the middle, I can't move on without just lingering right there a little bit. Maybe you're here today and you're right in the middle of something. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. There's doubt. Doubt is not the absence of faith. Faith is the solution for doubt. Today, if you're doubting, today, if you're fearful, today, God wants to bring fresh faith to you, to your life, to your future, to your calling, to your marriage, to your family. Where is it that today you would look up and say, man, I really am kind of in the middle of something? And you would look around and you would just see that that's the very place that God wants to write the strongest testimony. It's the very place that God wants to prove himself strong to you. If you look to him, if you listen to him, remember they said, when you step out, when you break camp, when you get moving, follow the presence of God. Allow God to go before you. Keep your eyes upon him. There's a memorial that God wants to build in your life. He says in verse 6 and verse 7, he says, we'll use these stones right from the middle to build a memorial. And he says, in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? You could tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped when the Lord's Ark of the Covenant went across, and they stand as a memorial amongst the people forever. He said, in the future. And we might overlook that, but I think right there, he's just saying, he's encouraging people who maybe were beginning to doubt that they were really gonna make it. He's saying, you do have a future. You do have a future, and there's a future generation that you have not seen yet, and there's a generation beyond that that you have not seen yet that will be influenced by your decisions and determinations today. And some of you need to hear that you're in the middle of a battle, you're in the middle of a struggle, and you need to understand that what you're going through, the battle, the schemes, the opposition that's coming against you is about more than just you. It's about more than what you can see. It's about more than what you can feel. There's a generation beyond you. There's a generation beyond that that will be influenced one way or the other by the decisions and determinations that you make today. And it's not about perfection. It's about dependency upon God. It's about looking to God. It's about placing your trust on God. It's about consistently following God. It's about understanding what the Bible says is true. If you fall even seven times, you get back up and you keep moving. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep trusting him. You keep serving. You keep loving. You keep forgiving. You keep doing what God's called you to do. And I promise you there'll be a day where there's a generation that looks back, and whether you have the opportunity to be present or not, there'll be a generation that looks back and say, man, we're so thankful for whatever they call you, Nana and Papa or Grammy and Grampy, whatever it is that they call you, that they set an example, that they stayed the course, that they overcame obstacles, that they allowed the Lord to heal their hearts so that they could live and love again, so that we could look back and have a heritage and a legacy of faith. He says, build this memorial so a future generation will see and know how I was faithful to see you through. Think about scars, and we tend to, there's a multi-million dollar industry for treating scars and healing scars, and that's fine, but I think as the people of God, there's some things that we've gone through physically and spiritually, and it's interesting how God just ordained this. I mean, he's a healer, right? And a scar is a healed wound, right? And it's, God could have caused it to be where it would heal, and sometimes I guess it's just different types of wounds, whatever, heal differently, but there's a point, hey, stay with me. And that's this, that we ought to see scars differently. We ought to look down and see a scar and say, that's a place where the enemy tried to take me out that God has seen me through. That's a place where I once had a wound, where there once was pain that now has been healed and preserved. And we look at it and we see that the enemy had his day, but come on, we sang it today, but Jesus made a way for us to keep moving forward, for us to overcome the attack, for us to lift up the shield of faith and endure the fiery darts of the enemy and keep moving forward towards the life and the promised land that God has for us. Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Someone say, a hope and a future. That's what you have in God. That's what you have in God. Last point, verse 8 and 9 of chapter 4. It says, so the men did as Joshua had commanded them. There's just always a blessing on the other side of obedience. What's God calling you to do? Just do that. What's God's word have to say about it? Just do that. And it says they took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Verse 9, but watch this. You got to catch this, okay? This is interesting. This is powerful. This is profound. Verse 9, Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. So he said, I want you to build a monument of the stones from the middle, and I want you to build one that you take with you. For generations, people will look at it, and you'll be able to tell the next generation. That's when God did this in our life. But he said, you also are going to build one in the river while it's dry, and eventually that river will come back, and those stones are still under that river today. And here's the powerful point that we need to understand, is that one of the things that best affects and determines our ability to continue to move forward towards the destiny that we have in life is the ability to understand and comprehend and have the grace for what God wants us to take with us and what God wants us to leave behind in the river. And I don't know about you, but I'll just speak for myself. I tend to get this one wrong. I tend to over-remember and kind of hang on to the hurt, the pain, the rejection, the disappointment. And I tend to just kind of left to my own devices, kind of drift from remembering all the ways that God's been good, been faithful, seen me through, seen me to what he's called me to. Isn't it just like the enemy to come and just try to shine a spotlight on the misfortunes and the disappointments and the losses that you suffered maybe in an untimely way? And he says, be careful to remember what I would have you remember. There's some things that I want you to just be buried in the waters of baptism. There's some memories, there's some things that I want you to just put in this place and you're going to keep moving forward. But there's some other things that I want you to take forward with you so that you could be able to remember and have your faith stirred when you go through a dark day, when you face doubt in your life, that you'll be able to see and say, but that right there, that reminds me that God saw us through that moment. We didn't think we were going to make it. Philippians 3, verse 13 is a powerful scripture. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and he says, my dear brothers and sisters, he says, I've not achieved it. Your translation might say, I've not apprehended it yet. He's just talking about I'm still a work in progress. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm still a work in progress. But he says, but this one thing I've obtained, apprehended. Your translation might say, I focus on this one thing. And so doesn't that sound like something we ought to give attention to, right? If the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm still figuring some things out about how to follow Christ. I'm still learning some things. I'm still growing in my faith. But he says, there's one thing that I've apprehended that I understand is critical and key to moving forward in my life of faith. And he says, that's forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. One thing. And how many of us have been hindered from moving forward in faith because we've been hindered by or held back or weighed down by something from your past? And today, if that's you, I want to encourage you that the same thing applies to you. God wants to come and he wants to remind you that whatever it was, the misstep, the misdeed, the mistake, the sinful moment, the dark moment, the unfortunate moment, the words you really said, the things you really did, you might have said them, you might have done them, but you are not those things. And your past is completely healed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, the Lord wants you to begin to rightfully divide and compartmentalize the things that you are intended to take with you and the things that you are intended to leave behind in the waters of that river that represents the baptism waters that we go through. Romans 8 says, I'm convinced neither life nor death nor angels or demons, not the present, not the future, nor powers, not height, not depth, not anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful promise, right? That's a powerful promise. But did you notice that there's something missing from that statement right there? Did you notice what he said? He said, neither the present nor the future can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. I think God's very intentional about what he wants to reveal to us through his word. And I think it's powerfully important to realize that the past is missing from there. He says, neither the present nor the future can separate you from the love of God. And is it possible that he understands that there are moments where if we allow our past, if we don't present our past, our pain, our sin, our shame before God and allow him to do what he sent Jesus to do, to heal, to forgive, to wash away, to wash clean, to remove as far as the east is from the west, that we really can begin to be separated, not from eternity, but just from living and walking in the peace of God, the joy of God, the goodness of God, the provision of God. I don't know about you, but I know it's been true in my life. And when I've held on to something, when I've failed to forgive, when I've failed to release something, when I've tried to go back to that place and kind of grab a hold of some old wound or some old thing, some old place of bitterness or anger or hurt or pain or rejection, it really can be the very thing that keeps me from moving forward in the peace and the joy and the goodness of God in my life. And today he says, just remember, there's a monument that I want you to take with you. And there's some things that I want you to leave to be washed forever in the waters of that river. Just stand to your feet this morning and just ask the Lord as you're standing, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me today? What are you reminding me of today? What are you revealing to me today through your word? And just allow him a moment to just speak to you. Just really quiet your spirit and your heart. Just listen. Just allow him to speak to you right now. Some of us, maybe he's reminding us of some of the ways he's been faithful that we've forgotten. Some of us today, maybe he is speaking to us about something that he desires to forgive and heal completely today. Something that you've been hauling, a stone that you weren't intended to carry forward. It was always intended to be part of what was laid behind. Man, how do I know the difference, Pastor T? Well, is it heavy? Is it burdensome? Does that memory, does that thought, does that mindset, is it more associated with where you've been or where God's taken you? When you think about it, when you remember it, does it stir faith in your heart? Does it remind you of the goodness of God? Or does it bring anxiety or fear or doubt or anger or hostility towards God or towards someone else? If it does, if it's in that latter category today, God wants you to leave it behind. He wants you to leave it behind today. And in the biblical text, it was in the bottom of that river, in the basin of that river that was dry, but would once again be covered with the waters that would flow once again. And today, let's just say that this is that place for us. That God, today, in this place, in this holy moment, in your presence, God, that there are people who are going to leave something behind. There are people who are going to take that stone that has tripped them up and leave it behind here. They're not going to walk out carrying it. They're not going to take it forward. And that today, Lord, we would only carry forward the things that cause us to remember, Lord, your goodness, your faithfulness, the way you've moved, the way you've showed yourself strong on our behalf, God. And we just thank you that you have done those things and you're still doing them, God. Lord, help us to remember today that there is a battle that we're in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, our marriages, our relationship as a church, as a community, God, that is about so much more than us. There's a generation, Lord, that will have the opportunity to tell about the way you've seen us through, God. Help us to embrace, Lord. I pray that there would just be fresh faith to engage spiritually, God, through prayer and through worship, through getting in your word, through speaking and declaring what you would have us to do, God, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the raging river that we might find ourselves in, even for those who are in the middle of it, God, today. I pray that there would be fresh faith, Lord, to just stand firm, stand fast, and to watch you, Lord, do what you do as we do what we can do, God. Take steps of faith. Take steps of faith. And that's the last place that I'll close. What's the step of faith that God would have you to take today? Even if it still looks like the river's raging, what's the step of faith that God would call you to do today? Where's the place he's calling you to put your foot in the river? to put your foot in the water? What is that thing for you? The next step. Man, God has a future. It's a good future. We read about that today, filled with hope. There's a vision that God wants you to have for your life. But the pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision. Just one step, just the next step. What is that for you? And Lord, we just thank you that whatever that is for us, Lord, you would grace us to go and take those steps today, God. In Jesus' name. And if you're here today and you're far from God, you're weighed down, you're burdened by sin and guilt and shame and the condemnation that the enemy uses to try to keep us held back and hindered from living for God and living in joy and the peace of Jesus Christ. Today, if that's you, your step is to receive by faith the grace of Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't get good to get God right now. When you're in the middle of your dark moment, when you're in the middle of dealing with that stuff, the guilt and the sin and the shame and the condemnation, right now in that moment, in the middle, that's where you receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. And he comes into your life and he completely, by faith, through grace, forgives you, heals you, restores you. The Bible created new language to describe how powerful what God does in your life. You're born again, a new opportunity, a new life. The old things pass away, the Bible says, you become a new creation. And if that's you today, or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you're what the Bible describes as a prodigal son or daughter, you once knew God, loved God, maybe even served God, grew up in the church, you've drifted from God, gotten busy, gotten preoccupied, maybe made some bad choices. You're what the Bible describes. Jesus told a parable and he said that was a prodigal son, someone that went out and left his father's house, tried to do it in his own strength, tried to do it his own way. And if that's you today, the posture of the Father towards you is the same as in the parable that Jesus told. Arms wide open, eager, expectant, looking for, longing for this moment in your life. The moment where you would come home back into the arms of a loving Father. And he doesn't hold you at arm's length because of your bad choices or your mistakes or misdeeds. He just welcomes you back into relationship. And then he helps you to start to bring your life into order according to his word. So if that's you today in either one of those camps, this is your moment to say yes, to come home. Right now, here's what I want to ask you to do. Don't wait, don't delay. Just lift your hand high towards heaven and say, that's me, I need to be forgiven. I need a new life, I need a fresh start. That's me, I'm coming home, back home to my Father's house, to a relationship with him. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. If that's you, if you raised your hand in this room and online, you can lower it, and here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray this prayer with you. We want you to hear the sound of a family, a body, of brothers and sisters in the Lord praying this prayer with you as a sign of support for you. And we pray it every week because it just reminds us we never graduate from grace, right? Everything God's doing in our life, he's building on a foundation of grace. So come on, some precious people came home to Christ today. Let's pray this prayer. Pray it boldly today. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say this loudly, I'll never be the same. Can we rejoice with all of heaven for the precious people? Come on, God sees you. He sees you.